All right. How many in here went to and got the QR code? How many's got that, has downloaded the Sunday school lesson? Did anybody? When we first started, I need someone who downloaded it the first time we started. Anybody download the lesson? Did you? Can you pull it up real quick? Can anybody? Someone who actually went and got it. I want you to, real quick, pull up week four. Pull up whoever's got it on their phone. And tell me in week four what we have premeditatedly decided to speak on when we came up with this curriculum 5-6 weeks ago. Anybody who's got to? I don't want it to come from me. I want it to come from someone else. For strategic reasons. Let me know when you get there. Pardon? Are you on week four? Yeah, go to week four. This is what we wrote about several weeks ago that we're going to talk about in week four. Yeah? Okay. You said week four, forgiveness is life. Do you see where it says theme, forgiveness is lifestyle? Main points? You see that? A forgiving life. Thank you. What's the, now under main points and forgiving life, what's our first point? Forgiveness is a lifestyle. So that's the thing.
Reflects Christ's love and transforms
others. And what's the first point right under that?
Overcoming evil with good.
Overcoming evil with good. Okay. So I just wanted to, for the record, say this is what we were premeditatively going to talk about. Okay. Everybody understand that? Some of you are getting where I'm going. This isn't a response or a reaction. This is a premeditative lesson that was set before this month even began, when we were talking about what are we going to talk about in the month of February, which was love. In the fourth week, what were we going to talk about on the fourth week and final? It was someone sent me a text. Living a forgiving life. First point. Overcoming evil with good. Someone go to Romans 12, verse 17. Romans 12, verse 17. And when you get there, say, oh my.
Oh my.
Oh my. Read it.
Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all.
Okay. Go on to.
If possible.
Yeah.
Well, how about that one?
Yeah.
Mm. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for giving us your word. We thank you for giving us a word that is not just philosophical ideas, but day-to-day actions that we are prescribed to live by. And Lord, we ask you right now that you would give us the grace not only to say what's being said in your word, but heard what is being said in your word. In your name we pray. Amen. So, yeah, the whole premise of this conversation you and I have been having since we started several weeks ago was understanding how and developing a capacity to both experience God's love and give God's love. That's what we've been talking about. And we spent the whole first week talking about how, you know, there are a lot of great gifts that God has given us. I mean, he's just thankful for all the goodness that God has given us. But the one thing that he's given us that has promised to never fail, is the ability to love. The Bible says there's tons of things that come and go. There's temporary things that we have on this earth that we're not going to need when we get to heaven, right? There's all kinds of things. There's seasons that I've gone through where I have really leaned in on the ability of God to manifest himself in a certain way in my life during this time period. And honestly, right now, I'm not even using. So God's manifest gift in me has there's been an ebb and flow. But the one constant is this, love. And because love is so powerful, and because it cannot fail ever, period, full stop, no caveat, love does not fail. That is the very area of our lives that Satan will try to attack the most. Our ability to love, our ability to receive love. He's open 24/7 trying his best to figure out a way to prevent you from experiencing his love toward you and for you, more importantly, to express his love toward others. Because the moment you can love others, regardless, the moment that you can truly be, it is not I who live, but Christ in me that lives, it's hard to offend a dead man, isn't it? But man, there's just something inside of me that just constantly wants to live. And that's why it says that I must daily do what? I gotta die daily. Once just ain't enough. I wished it was. I wished I could draw on that, you know, back in 1989 when Coach so-and-so said such and such. It hurt my ego. It hurt my feelings. And boy, I died that day. Thank God I don't have to go through that anymore. No. I get to go through that. I get the opportunity to have that experience daily. And here's the good news. Through what, babe?
Over and over.
Look, I get to choose, though, how intense does that conversation have to be? How long does that conversation, you know, we taught a message about 3 or 4 years ago that asked the question, poses this question, are we going in circles or are we going in cycles? Are we going in circles? Y'all remember that? Have you ever felt like I'm just going in circles? It's just the same old thing. How many have faced things that you faced in the past and, dadgummit, you're having to face it again today? I got good news, okay? And that is this. I used to beat myself up because I had this thing that, man, I'm just going in circles. And the Lord spoke to me. He says, no, you're not going in circles, Terry, but you are going in cycles. And what he means by that is this demon that you're facing today, that you faced back then, yeah, it's the same situation, but you're not standing in the same area that you were. See, if I go in circles, I'm on the same plane. I'm just going, I'm not making any run. But I've called to a higher calling. And so I might have to go around that mountain and I face that level, but it's a new devil, new level. Right? So I might have to face that temptation to not forgive or get frustrated or whatever, fill in the blank. You know, you got your own thing, I got my own thing, I'm not putting my thing on you. You do you, right? But you know in your mind right now, here I go again. I'm having to wrestle with this stupid thing again. Well, my question and my encouragement to you is you might have to be wrestling that same goofy thing, but are you standing in the same area that you're wrestling in? Because praise God, I am not what I should be, but I am not what I once was. There is progress. You know, and so we all need to take solace in the fact that, you know, the Lord's grace is new every morning. It's new every morning. Why? Because I've got a new situation every morning. But his grace is sufficient for me. Yeah, I see that hand.
The word from Isaiah
Unoffendable. Supercalifragilistic.
That helps.
The need for a Savior.
The need for a Savior.
Every time you go to that place that you want to go, and I was in the prayer closet this morning myself, and I said, it's okay, because my daddy knew what I was going to say before I said it.
Yeah.
He's already forgiven it. And I said, that proves my need for a Savior, and it just pulled right off of me.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely. I agree. I think if you guys have not done ICIT in here, anybody that's not done ICIT, this is a shameless plug that you ought to do it. It is life changing, and it's not because it's magical. It's just using Scripture to address the very pinpoints of your life to be able to, yeah, it carpet bombs the hell right out of you. And that was legal. That was legal. I said that and got away with it. Did you see that? That was theologically sound. I don't care what you say. Because there's lies from the pits that comes through the doorway of offense. And an offended heart is a heart that cannot receive or give love the way it should. And that's the very thing that the enemy goes after all the time. Last week, we weren't able to finish up on lesson three, so I'm going to run through this real quick, and we'll get into this week's lesson. Here are some exercises. If you didn't write this down, it might be good to write down. Exercises to learn how to forgive better. This will exercise some of your spiritual, psychological muscles, okay? Number one, recognize how much you've been forgiven. Anytime I have a hard time forgiving others, you know, the best way to get me in a forgiving mood is start understanding, whew, boy, he forgave me a lot. And that should soften the heart, because anytime we feel like we're trying to be haughty or we're trying to be unforgiving, and here's a revelation I found out about myself this week. I was reading through some journals and stuff, and I didn't know it at the time, but one of my prayers thing was, this was several years ago, my wife and Pastor Terry and some other people who are close to me in my life several years ago told me, you're not patient enough with people. You need to be more patient with people. Okay? I received it because I recognize it myself. I just get impatient. Okay? That's great. But you know where the grace of God has taken me? Is reading it this way. I understand now through the grace of God the arrogance in having that attitude. Who am I not to be patient with anybody? And then I just sat there and cried. Because I saw even more, I have no right to be anything but gracious and patient with people. You know, so it really just even, because see, one is behavior. We've been talking about behavior, and we all try to address behavior. We're always trying to, Lord, how can I do better? How can I talk better, walk better, you know, act better, sing better, tell better jokes, you know, whatever you want to do. But we're be better. That's behavior. And then there's another thing to start addressing, the belief system that undergirds that behavior. And that's where the Lord's like, there's a heart issue here. You're impatient with others. Don't you come at me like that. Did you see that? She just about.
No, real quick. So I would, if I'm behind a slow driver, which I try not to do anymore, I'm behind a slow driver, so I'll flip up my visor.
Whew, I'm glad you said visor. I don't know what you was flipping.
I haven't done that.
We're in Sunday school.
Anyway, and I would lean on the thing, and they would see the white hair, and I'd just kind of flip it and, like, waiting. It would work. But the Lord told me, that's a prideful thing you're mm-hmm. doing. Stop.
Yeah.
And he's had to tell me a few times.
That's true. It's
It's an arrogance and a pride thing.
Well, I'm ashamed to say it, but this is how far I got to go. Y'all need to pray for me. but to recognize, you know, that is just an arrogant heart. To be impatient with anybody. You know, who am I to dictate what the speed and the whatever of any, not
that's
I'm
true.
You know, and so it's just like, Lord, thank you.
You really want to get hard on you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What?
Right on.
Absolutely.
Yep.
You know, so it just, Lord, thank you for telling me more about me. Number two, exercise you could do that I have found helpful is recognize how much you've been forgiven. Number two is practice empathy. Practice empathy, which means shift your perspective. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, spirits. A lot of times we want to humanize a demonic spirit. It's not about the person. It's about the spirit at operation within. And so we need to understand that when we're coming against something is we're feeling like this is coming at us, you know, the first thing you can do is empathize and try to understand more. Number three, release control over justice. How many know that when you feel an injustice happen, there's a righteous, sometimes in my case, unrighteous anger that comes up? You know, I'm still working on that daily, you know. Well, we'll roll in the dirt. Let's roll. We'll settle this the old school way, right? You know, and sometimes the heart of God is not in that. You know, I like laying on the hands and believing. Forget the oil. I'm talking when prayer gets physical. But, you know, that's me masquerading and spiritualizing just flat out a vengeful heart. All right. In for a penny, in for a pound. You know, Terry used to have a joke, and I love it. He goes, I don't get even, I get ahead. It's unbiblical to get even. So you take a penny from me, I take two from you. Otherwise, it's unbiblical, you know. Tit for tat's not biblical. I can't get even, but I can get ahead. So that's spiritualizing, you know, a vengeful heart. The Bible says, vengeance of mine, says the Lord, right? So we have to let go of that. And here's something I learned really profoundly in 07 when we went through our failure and everything in business, and it became a thing, and all this was going on, stuff, this and that and the other. Thank God, God rescued me from myself. The two or three times that I wanted to act out, wanted to do something, God, through his mercies and grace, neutralized me where I couldn't even get my message out. And so, and I look back on it, I said, thank you, Lord, for not allowing what I want to happen and what I wanted to do, what I want to actually, because what I've learned through this, especially in that time period, is if we will let God fight our battles, defend us, represent us, he does a much better job. He just does. He just does. And I get in his way all the time with that nonsense. At least I once did more than I do now. But, you know, I have learned if you just sort of let God, here's what it's taught me. I really start praying for, you know, situations that would tempt otherwise, that I would want to flesh out and, you know, da 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 da. Let go and let God, you can see that it actually puts you in perspective. Have mercy, have grace. Because, you know, God's not a person that he should be mocked. That whatever a person does, they're going to have to reap. All of a sudden, that puts me in a more of a contrite heart. Lord, have mercy on all of us. We're all fallen. We all need help. We all need grace. We all need your mercy. So that's an exercise that we talked about last week. Reframe it for a growth mindset we talked about. I always go back to that thing that Paul says to comfort those with the same comfort you've been comforted with. You know, the thing that I deduce from that is there's purpose for your pain. There's nothing that's ever touched your life that God hasn't sovereignly allowed. Not saying he orchestrated it. Not saying he wanted it. Not saying he caused it. Not saying he's at fault. But I am saying it's amazing. I look back on my life and those things that, man, I wished hadn't happened. Man, I wish that hadn't touched my life. Man, I wish I didn't have to go through that. I am just astounded by the grace of God and how he uses that to equip me to better serve him and his people. There's purpose for every pain that we go through. And so the exercise here is when something's coming against you, reframe it for this one. There's purpose for this. I don't understand it. I don't like it maybe. It maybe even hurts. But here's what I know and what I've learned. Anytime something comes against you, anytime you feel the enemy's attack, here's what's on the other side of that, promotion. Start celebrating now. Because when you feel like the enemy is just coming in, God's going to raise up a standard, he says in his word. And it's been my experience that every time, if we will just let God do what he's going to do, we're going to see a promotion from it. What that means is there's more power. There's more of his anointing. There's more of his grace. There's more of his influence. There's more of what he wants to give you on the other side of allowing this to take place. But it's hard to do that, isn't it, when you're in it? And that's the purpose here. We got to get out of our feelings and get into faith in him. Because we're not led by feelings. We're led by faith. And that's hard to do. You got to be intentional about it, don't you? You got to think, you know, Lord, I don't know how you're going to use this. I don't know. I don't understand. But boy, I'm looking forward to seeing you pull this one out. This is going to be it's going to be a fun one to watch. But he does it, and he does it every time. And the fifth thing that you can do is practice daily forgiveness by small acts of grace. Forgiveness is a muscle that grows with practice. Start by overlooking small offenses in daily life. Example, cutting you off in traffic, rude comments by others, anything like this. And instead, exercise. At the end of each day, write down anything that upset you and consciously release it in prayer before going to bed. Release it to God. God, I give you this. God, this right here, it's on you. We do something, I'm out. You know what I'm saying? I no longer hold it. It no longer belongs to me. It's all you, God. So I'm just going to release it. You have to do that because if you hold on to it, it's going to inhibit and impede our ability to both receive love and to give love. So in week 4, we move into this in Romans 12, 17:21, where it says, we overcome evil with good. We replace bitterness with kindness. And forgiveness is an actual witness to Christ when we do that. How many has ever had something happen to you and right in the middle of it, God is giving you a word to bless that person or that situation? And it's just like, what? Y'all had that happen before? Do anybody have a testimony how God used that and turned it around for you? I'll share one. Has anybody heard my piano story from 2000? When was this? This would have been 1999. Has anyone heard that where I gave a piano away? So here's the story. There's a specific piano that was made back in the 60s and 70s. It's no longer being made. We found it at a place down in Gaffney, South Carolina, and we purchased it. And we put it on. By the way, I was working at Hames Music at the time. Hames Music, big music store back in the day that was off 85 down there beside the Big Peach. So bought the piano. That's what I did. I was the keyboard piano guy. So we bought this piano, brought it in the showroom, cleaned it up, dusted it off. It had been out in this lady's sunroom for 30, 40 years, okay? It had the top of it looked like a alligator skin because the sun and the heat of that sunroom just cracked the finish. So it looked like a alligator skin. Bring it in. Set it up by the door of the the showroom. This was our deal of the week. A gentleman from Cleveland County comes in. I won't say where because it's irrelevant to the story. I don't want to throw shade. He sees that, and I see a 6'4", probably 280-pound man start crying. Crying. Breaks down in tears. He sits down at piano, and the more he plays, the more he cries. I said, Lord, what's wrong with this guy? This guy needs some Zoloft. It's going to be all right, man. Play something happy. Quit playing that country music. That's probably part of the problem. So he gets up, and his wife comes to me, said his mom just passed away. And she taught him piano, and she taught him on a piano just like that. Just like that. It's what he learned to play on. How much is it? Well, we were selling at the time for around $5,000. It was a 6-foot grand piano, 6-foot grand. And I said, well, they want $5,000 for it. She said, okay, we want it. Wrote me a check right then and there. And I said, okay. And I says, in full transparency, we have not tuned this thing. We have not gone through this thing. It is used, so it is as is. Now, I'm saying all this before she was, gave me, I didn't say this after the check. I said it before. Make sure. That's important to the story. That's an important point there. I said, before, you know, we have, no, we want it. They were in a hurry to get, they wanted this piano because of the emotional attachment to it. Didn't care about anything else. I said, okay. So we moved it away from the front, took it to the back to have our piano tuner come in. And about a week or two went by before we could get him in. And in that time period, because it was away from the front, which was also away from all the heat, it got into a cooler place. The wood. How many knows what wood does when it gets in through different humidities and stuff? The piano had a cracked soundboard and a collapsed bridge, which means the way, you got a soundboard like a guitar, these strings go over this bridge, it creates this tension, it goes back to the back, and striking those strings causes the strings to reverberate and the sound comes out. That's how it works, not getting too far in the weeds. When that bridge collapses, it means there's no tension on those strings, which means the piano is ruined. I mean, you have to rebuild the whole thing. So I called him, and I said, I hate to tell you this, but we got the piano back. That bridge is shot. It's collapsed. It's ruined. It will cost at least $2,500 to rebuild this piano. And she said, okay, I hate to hear that. Well, about 30 minutes later, I get a call from this man, and he is speaking in not tongues, but he was expressing his frustration in the situation and basically said, if you don't make this piano perfect for the price I paid, you know, he told me who he was and how influential he was and how everybody in that side of the county, because I was the worship leader at a church and knew some people, my reputation would be ruined, and how he's going to do this and that. He's trying to blackmail me. So I was just like, Lord, what do I do? In my full heart, I expressed that, you know, it, as is, we don't know. Offering your money back, we're not trying to, you know what I'm saying? It's ruined. And that night, I was slated to teach, because I taught Wednesday nights at the church. And I was teaching on bless those who curse you and despitefully use you. That was what I was teaching on. I was like, Lord. our theme here is love God, love people, make a difference. I told Terry he's shooting too high. We just love God, tolerate some, and try not to screw up with, you know. That should be the slogan. He said, no, we're going to aim high. So God challenges us, don't he, to our own, you know, what we proclaim, doesn't he? And so I went home, and I called the owners that night after service. I was like, here's the situation. So they struck a deal with me. They let me buy that piano at cost, which was $2,500. They had $2,500 in it. They're selling it for $5,000. They let me pay their piano guy out of my pocket, which was around $3,000. It's about $5,500. I paid it all out of my pocket, and I gave that piano to that guy because I felt like I'd have been a hypocrite to get up and say, bless those, you know, curse you. And so I was like, Lord, I honestly felt like, now I'm not saying God said that. I'm just saying I felt like he said that to me. I'm not saying that's a stand. I'm saying it was like one of those Kairos moments, you know, that the Bible gives us where we're in a season. And I kid you not, Biltmore Baptist Church the next week came in and struck a deal with me that the commissions on that more than paid the expense on that and everything else. And it's I don't want to turn this into a financial thing. It's a, you know, I'm not saying God is one of those, you know, put a coin in, you know, pray and he. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you bless those. You pray for those. You forgive those. You release those from what you feel like is right. And watch what God does. You know, I heard a preacher say one time, if you want to get to God to release what's out of his hands, you got to first release what's in your hands. And sometimes what we're holding on to, now I know that that's sometimes manipulated to be in some sort of financial thing and all that, but sometimes what we're holding on to is our rights. Yeah. I'm right. Well, good. But as one marriage counselor told me one time, you can be right or you can be happy, but sometimes you can't be both. Which one do you want? I can spend a lifetime proving why I'm right in this situation or this relationship, or I can say, so when the Bible says to repay evil with good, it's not about the people. It's not about the situation. It's about the heart and the attitude, because the more and more we can say, before it even happens, I choose to love. Don't matter how you talk to me. Don't matter what you call me. I love you. Because when we can do that, watch what the power, the spiritual power of love can do in you, can do in others, and honestly, releases God. That's the more important thing. When we love, and we choose to love, when we just say, I'm not going to hold on to what is rightfully mine, but I'm just going to let God and see what happens, I'm telling you, God's been rougher with people than I would have been. But he's God. There's some people that, had I responded, I would have gone this far. And I said, okay. But because I released it, I see what happened in the situation in times past. And I was like, whew, God trying to get their attention. But God's in covenant with his people. God protects his people. God loves his people. God's called us to love everyone in every situation. And so we love God. We love people. And because of that, there is a difference that's going to be made. Amen? Amen. So it goes on, it says this, we overcome that with good, replacing bitterness, kind of put away bitterness, anger, and malice, and be kind and forgiving. Let's go to Ephesians 4:31 real quick. I think we've got somebody that's going to be going through Ephesians next month as well. So I will lightly tread on this passage not to step on anything. How's that? No, I want to give plenty of runway. But it says in Ephesians 4:31, what does it say, somebody? It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God Christ forgave you. See, if you reverse engineer this, we'll get into a little bit of fancy word, hermeneutics. If we get into that a little bit, if you reverse engineer that. Forgiveness is the access to be able to put away bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, Unforgiveness will bring about bitterness, wrath. So if we see these things at work in ourselves, in our own hearts, the Holy Spirit is telling us in His scripture right there, you haven't forgiven. You have not fully forgiven in the way that I have called you to. And here's the thing. If you're being attacked by bitterness, anger, wrath, slander, you're not being attacked by a person. You're being attacked by unforgiveness. Of what? Something has hurt something. Somebody's gotten hurt somewhere. There's a wound somewhere. And when I can recognize there's a woundedness there, then all of a sudden I can say, okay, that's the seedbed, the hurt. And then all of a sudden I can devoid it. I stop trying to humanize a spiritual dynamic. It's not about a person. It's about a spirit at operation, which is the enemy has come in and wounded and hurt and destroyed. And I've been called as an agent of healing. What heals? Love. Forgiveness. Understanding. I don't respond for tit for tat, for this, for that, you know, trying to get into some sort of thing. I love you. I love you. Amen?
Amen.
Are we good?
Well,
we've been called to be more than good. Don't settle for good. Come on now. All right. Let's see. Is there anything else I'm supposed to hit here? I think that's it. If you want the notes, it's actually online. I put these notes with the first, I think, part one of this. You can download that and see the notes here as well. The recordings are up, so you can go back and download those and read them at your leisure. But I'll close with saying, you know, we live in a culture and in a society that we are being bombarded every day with opportunity to be frustrated, to be bitter, to be angry, to be resentful, to be unforgiving, to be judgmental. And, you know, it says over there, it says, judge not lest you be judged. How can you tell your brother, get the splinter out of your eye when you got a log beam in your eye? But nobody reads on. That's true. I'm not judging you. I'm not judging you. I'm not saying this is what you deserve. You get your comeuppance. That's not the heart. It goes on and says, but cast not your pearls before the swine, because what will happen? They'll come back and trample upon you. Wait a minute, Lord. In one hand, you telling me not to judge. In another hand, you saying, be wise about where you're giving away the precious things of your life. Don't give it to just anybody and everybody, because they'll turn around, weaponize, and it'll come back on you. So he's not saying not to be discerning, not to weigh out the spirits and say, the spirit that you of. You know, there's nothing unloving about having healthy boundaries. Nothing. I'm called to love you, but I'm not called to love you right beside you. Maybe the best thing of loving you is you being way over there behind that door. I know it's true. Listen, I love, I honor, I forgive my Father. But he died this past year, and I didn't even know it until 3 months afterwards. Now, that's a hard thing for some to hear. My wife cried more than I did. And it wasn't because I don't love him. But I tried. I did what I felt like was right, which was you go and you try to make amends and see if there's any way that a healthy relationship can be established. But a relationship takes two people. And God has called me to be a father, a husband, and a protector. And if proximity to this causes damages to this, as far as me and my house, we will serve the ways of God. I love you. I forgive you. This is not punitive. The separation between me and you is not punishment. It's not. I love you. But I love you, and here's the boundaries. And you're going to respect it, or we're going to roll in the dirt. I didn't, not the last part, son. That's just me. Just me. I'm telling you, just get down there. Yeah, exactly right. We're called to love everybody, but we're not called to, you know, have everybody at the table. You know, and that's that. You know, proximity. There's no proximity clause in that love command. And if there is, come show me. Come show me. I will be stand corrected. But boundaries is not unloving. It's just not. All right? By the way, did everybody know Marshall Tucker came from Spartanburg? I just found that out. Great band. Marshall Tucker is from Spartanburg. I always like to give, you know, some information that, you know, musical information, but the Marshall Tucker Band is from Spartanburg, South Carolina, just so y'all know. And was named after the piano tuner down there. Nobody in the band is named Marshall Tucker. Now, see, I just gave information that everybody can use one way or the other, either the Sunday school lesson or that trivia. One or the other. You walked away with something. You got something for you. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Randy said, I did not know that. Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your grace and your mercy on all of us. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for giving us more and more insights into how we are to be more like you. We ask you to infuse this service, this time, with your presence. And Lord, let us hear your heart and feel your heart in the praise, the worship, and the message today. In your name we pray. Amen.